How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Great. I love it. I heard it. Well, good morning and welcome to MCC this morning. And we're just going to jump right in to God's Word and our scripture for this week. Psalm 23, we're actually going to do 1 through 6, not 1 through 3. But we're actually going to do 1 through 6, the whole psalm, the whole 23rd psalm. So let's go. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly, goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Open our hearts and our minds to what you want us to learn today. Let me speak with your words, Lord. Speak through me and reach and talk about this amazing psalm that David wrote, that you wrote through him. And Lord, we just want to learn more about being a leader, about being a shepherd, and what the example you and your son set for us in that regard. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, the 23rd Psalm is one of the greatest, if not the greatest known psalm in the whole book. The 23rd Psalm is one of the best loved and most well-known sections in the entire Bible. And David wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit more than 3,000 years ago. And these six verses have brought untold comfort to Jewish believers and then Christian believers for centuries since. Outside of the church, well, let me ask you, where are you most likely to hear the 23rd Psalm quoted? Funerals, I heard it. Yes, that's right, at funerals. And I've used it when it has been requested by the deceased family. But otherwise, I try to kind of stay away from using it at funerals. Because the 23rd Psalm is not a psalm about death. It's a psalm about life. Think about it. David, a young boy, is sitting on the side of the hill watching his father's flock. He looks down, sees the flock, and he thinks, are these sheep dead? No. Are they even sick? No. There's not a thing wrong with my dad's flock. They are alive. They are cared for. David's there thinking about how good life is for the sheep. They're peaceful. They're content. They're protected. Life is good. And the sheep are at ease. Other kinds of animals may face the dangers of predators, but not his sheep. His sheep are safe and they're protected. No one is going to touch David's father's sheep while he's around. And the sheep have it good because they have a shepherd like David. As David ponders sitting there on the hillside on all of this, he realizes that his life is good too because he has a shepherd, the shepherd. God has given him everything he wants in life. God has given him rest, refreshment, food, and guidance. God has removed the fear from this life and given him courage when he's faced with danger, just like a shepherd out in the field. This is not a psalm about death, folks. It's a prayer rejoicing in life. Life as only God, our shepherd, can give it. So we're going to examine these six verses this morning, and I hope I will show you, or in some cases just remind you, of why the Lord needs to be our shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd because first, he is present. He is present. First line, the Lord is my shepherd. He is here. He is with me. He is with you. He has a relationship with me. This is just simply amazing to me, especially right now in the chaos of everything going on in this country and in this world. Through all of it, his presence, God's presence, Jesus' presence is with me, alongside me, and in many cases, holding me up, keeping me up. Now, back in the day, shepherds were responsible for the sheep that they were in their care, of course, and they stayed in the fields with the sheep constantly. They didn't just take them out to the field at night and go sleep at home. That's not what happened. They were in the fields with them constantly. They were concerned with their well-being and welfare 24/7. And as many of you know, sheep, let's just be honest in here today, sheep, they're not very smart. And they got to be watched over and cared for because they are defenseless and careless by nature. They do not have the capability of watching over and protecting themselves. They just can't do it. Because of their nature, sheep need a shepherd. So in terms of our lives, can't you kind of see the imagery that David's bringing about here? The Lord, the Almighty Creator, stoops so low as to become our shepherd and take care of us as we are often, we too are often needy and helpless, aren't we? He is with us 24/7 and watching over us. Think about that. Is that not incredible? Is that not awesome? That the Lord comes to us as our shepherd, as our keeper. The psalm says, of course, the Lord is my shepherd. Note that. It's not a qualifying phrase. It's not from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m., the Lord is my shepherd. No, it starts it. It is a definite statement. The Lord is my shepherd. He's here for me, you, and everything, in all things. He longs to look after us, to keep us, and to guide us through the paths of life. Again, 24/7. Do you get it? That's what a shepherd does. That's what God does. And the Lord is my shepherd because he is personal. He's so personal. A shepherd knows his sheep intimately. A shepherd is different from someone who simply raises cattle on a ranch. The shepherd knows each of his sheep individually. I mean, he's spending a lot of time out there in the field with them, right? And he develops a close relationship with them. He knows their habits, their weaknesses. He knows their strengths. He is there when a sheep is born. He is there when the sheep is ill. He is there when the sheep wanders away. And he is there to bring the sheep back into the fold. He often gives his sheep a name based on the sheep's personality and special circumstances. Jesus said this. He said this in John chapter 10. He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. There is no deeper relationship in the world than the relationship between God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's the tightest, most incredible relationship ever. And Jesus dares to model his relationship with his sheep, us, after his relationship with the Father. Again, the deepest, most intimate relationship imaginable. He knows me. He knows my name, my dreams, all my idiosyncrasies. He knows my faults, my thoughts, my weaknesses. He knows me personally, and he wants a relationship with me. And guess what? He knows each one of you, and he wants a relationship with all of you as well. Now, the other thing about this relationship, please note, it's not one way. It's not a one-way relationship. Not only does the shepherd know his sheep know the shepherd. That's what Jesus said. He says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. He also said, the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, the shepherds in the Middle East, they individually develop a distinctive call that their sheep immediately recognize. They come up with their own call. So when two shepherds and their flocks kind of cross paths with each other, there's no problem. The shepherd just keeps calling out to his sheep in their unique call, and the flocks, they mingle maybe momentarily, but the sheep know their shepherd's voice, his call. And so the flocks eventually separate with each, and then each set of sheep happily following their master's voice, their shepherd's voice. Isn't that cool? And we know his voice. Read this. It's in the book. You will hear his voice. You will know what he's calling you to. There is such beauty in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is not simply a shepherd. He's my shepherd. It's personal. I know him. He knows me. That is the beauty of Christianity. Christianity is not about a set of rules or regulations. It's about enjoying a personal relationship with your God and Creator through His Son, Jesus Christ. The shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know their shepherd. But Jesus, He could have stopped there, but He doesn't. And because we could have just stopped with God being present, being here, and being personable, and Him being personal, but He didn't stop there. Because He is also my shepherd, because He is a provider. He is a provider. The shepherd's provision is summed up in verse 1 when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need." The two statements here, they go together. They need to be together. You can't have one without the other. And once you have the other one just kind of flows naturally with it. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need. Unless the Lord is my shepherd, I will be in need. If I am not in need, it's because the Lord is my shepherd. And if I am in need, if I am wanting things, then the Lord is not my shepherd in that case. If there is an emptiness, loneliness, despair, and frustration in my life, then the Lord's not my shepherd because He fulfills that. If I'm never satisfied, or if anyone or anything else is shepherding me, if my work shepherds me, and because of that there's a restlessness, a feverish activity and frustration, or if another person is my shepherd, I'm going to always be disappointed, and ultimately I'm going to feel empty. I'm going to be left empty. But when God, when Jesus, when they're my shepherd, David says this, we shall not need, because we will have everything we need. This is the place in our lives that God wants to bring us to. He wants us to be independently dependent. He wants us to be independently dependent upon Him, to need Him alone. In his book, I Shall Not Want, Robert Ketchum tells about a Sunday school teacher who asked her group of children if any one of them could quote the entire 23rd Psalm. And a little 4.5-year-old girl was among those who raised their hands. So a bit skeptical, the teacher asked if she could really quote the entire Psalm. Well, a little girl came up to the podium. She faced the class, made a little bow, and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." Then she bowed again and sat down. She gets it, right? She may have overlooked a few verses, let's be honest, but I think the little girl captured David's heart here in Psalm 23. The idea throughout the psalm is that we are utterly contented in the shepherd's care, and there is nothing else that we desire. He is all we need. God, our shepherd, He's the provider of all our needs. And that includes spiritual and physical. Physical things like rest and food and clothes and shelter. Spiritual needs, of course, forgiveness, direction, peace, correction, acceptance, hope, renewal. He encourages us. These are all the needs that He meets. The great news is we don't need to worry about our needs, because just like the shepherd is aware of the needs of the flock of his sheep and leads them to green pastures and still waters, God is aware of every one of our needs, as well as how and where to meet them. And the New Testament bears witness to His divine provision. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus advises us not to feel anxious about our words, and assures us that God will provide. There is one condition, however. He will only meet our genuine needs, what we truly need. Not our wants, not our little separate desires of Him, separate of Him, but our needs, what we genuinely need. God also provides, I said earlier, peace and rest in an anxious world. And this is illustrated again by the quiet waters, which is referring to a place of quietness and rest. And man, don't we lead some busy lives around here, don't we? A lot of you are busy. I see it. I see you running around, fast-paced lives, full of tension and struggles. A lot of us live on the edge and anxiety and it just becomes a way of life for some of us, right? Jesus offers you and I a better way. When we follow Him as a shepherd, He slows us down, right? He pulls us back. He helps us focus on what's important, and He gives us His peace. Oh, how we need a shepherd to lead us through these crazy times. Amen. So turn your eyes upon Jesus, the good shepherd, and he's going to lead you to your resting place, your place to take a breath. Now, going to our spiritual needs, most, if not all, the problems we face in our life, they're the result of us just not listening to God, not heeding his guidance, right? We can enjoy every little instance of our personal life, our marriage, our career, our ministry, you know, our children even, if we are sensitive to his leading. He knows what's best for us, and he will help us achieve our goals as long as they're pure and within the perimeter of his will. But needless to say, just like the sheep, I hate to say it, but it's true, we are also dumb and incapable sometimes of defending ourselves against Satan's schemes, aren't we? We just are, especially because of the fallen nature that dominates our behavior, because of the original sin. It causes us to fall into sin, and later, many times, we wish that we never did what we just did. At such times, it's important that we repent and allow the Lord to forgive us and to provide us restoration, to restore us. We must not leave room for feelings of guilt. We got to let them go. This was evident in the life of Peter. I mean, in Luke 22, Peter repented, and then Jesus, you can see it at the end of John, restored him when he met him, you know, brought him in from fishing. Like, Peter, do you love me? Yes. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes. He restores him back to a relationship with him. Then Judas, on the other hand, he did the opposite. He took his own life because he permitted feelings of guilt in his heart instead of repenting and allowing the Spirit of God to restore him. He let the guilt overtake him. When it comes right down to it, the Lord himself is our real provision, is my real provision. All that I need. He is the one thing I truly require. And if I have him, just him, as my shepherd, I truly lack nothing. From food, to shelter, to love, forgiveness, and restoration. Quote the song, give me Jesus, right? Give me Jesus, and then I will be satisfied. And so you will be also. Man, isn't God an amazing shepherd? Isn't he the shepherd of shepherds? I see you shaking your head over there. Good job. Yes, he is the shepherd of shepherds. But he's not done yet. He doesn't quit there. He is my shepherd also because he is a protector. Oh, a protector. God knows we need to be watched over and protected. I know I do. Boy, do I do. I need God to correct me when I go towards a dangerous spot or when I'm straying from the herd. David reminded us of this in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We all know that problems, right? I mean, if you know this, raise your hand. We all know that problems are not absent in this life. If you know that there is problems, yeah, all right, good job. Yeah, there are problems in this life. They are. There are certain seasons and valleys where our very existence and our faith is threatened. But God, Jesus, our shepherd, protects us, keeps us from harm. We shouldn't be afraid of these moments. We shouldn't be afraid. We should be alert and prepared, but not afraid. We can't be afraid of Satan and his attacks because our shepherd is with us everywhere he goes. And he carries his rod and staff, which is a comfort because it protects us, right? The shepherd's staff, right? We all know what that looks like, a little crook. You see it doing nativities and all that stuff. The rod and staff here that David mentions refers to a single tool, the old shepherd's staff, shepherd's crook. And it has four major applications for the shepherd. Four on top of also being a symbol of his authority over the sheep. You see the guy with the staff, that's the shepherd, right? He has the authority. But it also has four additional applications. First, shepherd uses it to fight off animals such as lions and leopards and bears and things that usually seek to prey upon sheep. Second, the curved part, the crook part of the staff was used to gently seize the sheep that tend to get away either by the legs or by the neck and get them back into the flock, right? It was a way to gather them back into the flock. Third, he used it to examine the sheep. The shepherd used the rod to pull away the sheep's wool from its skin to check for rashes or wounds or any kind of issues the sheep may be having. And fourth, he used it to count the sheep. In terminology of the Old Testament, this was referred to as passing under the rod. Here the shepherd holds his rod over the sheep and counts each and every sheep that enters the gate. And what happens if he finds one of them that is missing? He places others at the hands of his, that are, you know, his faithful servants. He places others over the sheep that are all gathered, and he takes off searching for the lost one. He goes and finds the lost one. You see, the rod and the staff in all four of these applications protected the sheep. In our walk with God, this rod, his rod, is his word. It's his word, right? Think about it. I mentioned that the shepherd's staff is a symbol of authority over sheep. That's what the word does, right? Likewise, God's word is a symbol of his authority over us, which brings us protection when we voluntarily submit ourselves to it, when we trust in it. In the light of the four applications I just talked about the shepherd's staff has, first, his word helps us to fight Satan, to resist temptations. That's our predator, right? That's who's coming after us. It uses the word to help us fight Satan and his temptations. Second, it keeps us from making wrong decisions and going astray. If we go to make a decision and we trust the Bible and we trust God and we go to him and take his reply, take his answers, we're less likely to make a wrong decision and go astray. Third, if we read the Bible, right, it searches our hearts. It convicts us. It pulls things out of us. It helps us become the person we are to be. It checks for any kind of defects that are keeping us from being the person God wants us to be. And then fourth, it convicts sinners and leads them to the cross of Christ. It's the gospel, right? The gospel's there. It tells them about Jesus. There was a minister who was on a transatlantic flight when the flight encountered some violent turbulence. Now, through the great confusion and panic that the turbulence was bringing to everybody, a minister noticed one little 5-year-old girl who remained calm and composed through this ordeal. And after the plane landed safely, and as the people were leaving the plane, the minister asked the little girl how she could stay so calm when everyone else, all the other adults and kids, were terrified by the turbulence. And her response, I love her response. Her response was, "Oh, I didn't worry because my daddy is the pilot, and he always gets me home safe." We should all be like that little girl, that we always know that our Father is the one who protects his children through every conceivable difficulty, through all the turbulence of life. He is the Almighty God who has and is always going to be. Amen? Yeah. And finally, he is my shepherd because he made a promise. Right? He made a promise. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever." David expects an ongoing intimate relationship with his Lord. Why? Because God promised it. While our journey might be fraught with all kinds of trials and tribulations, we can rest assured in the promise that the good shepherd who has gone to prepare a place for his sheep will return and take us to dwell with him. What a glorious day when that will be, when we no longer just receive just the crumbs from the master's table. We get to feast in his presence forever, forever. So I have two questions for everyone this morning. Do you know my shepherd? And is he your shepherd? A famous actor was an after-dinner speaker at a big function. When he stood up to speak, he invited his audience to choose a poem for him to recite. Well, there was a long silence until a retired pastor raised his hand and asked for the 23rd Psalm. The actor was slightly taken aback, but agreed to do so, provided the clergyman would recite it after him. Which the pastor, you know, when does a pastor ever get a chance, you know, give up a chance to speak? Of course the pastor accepted that, right? So the actor recited the 23rd Psalm and received a standing ovation. But when the pastor recited the psalm, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. The actor came over to the pastor and said in front of all the guests, "Do you know the difference between his version and mine? You see, I know the 23rd Psalm. He knows the shepherd. He knows the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I want everyone to know him. However, there is a distinctive difference between sheep in a field and us. You see, sheep do not get to choose their shepherd. Their shepherd chooses them. Even in Bible times, when a shepherd maybe bought a new sheep, he'd take a firm hold of that sheep, get the sharp knife out, and cut a distinctive earmark into one of its ears. That way, even from a distance, it would be easy to determine to anyone who that sheep belonged to. The difference for us is we get to choose whether or not we'll take the mark of Jesus, our shepherd, into our lives. His mark is distinctive, and the Bible is very clear on what his mark is to look like. It's to be faith. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It has a mark of repentance. Repent. Acknowledge that we have sinned and fallen short of being accepted by him, living our lives in our own way. And then we turn around and hand our lives over to him. We are to confess. Confess that Jesus is our Lord. We must give him everything we have, our possessions, our loved ones, even our own very lives. We must determine to make him Lord of our lives. And then the final part of Jesus' distinctive mark that we can choose to accept is acceptance. We can accept his distinctive mark of which he did to purchase us all. He bought us by his death, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead. Thus, his mark upon us is taken by us when we die to our sins. We are buried in the waters of Christian baptism, and we rise to walk in the newness of life. Are you ready to be one of his sheep today? And then are you ready, amen? And then are you ready to be a shepherd to others? I wanted to come up with a clever takeaway about leadership and being a shepherd, but I couldn't get away from the one God put on my heart this week. It's the one that is a simple but important truth for everyone. Today's takeaway: choose Jesus as your shepherd, trust, and follow him.